We are what we think about all day long. This is Father Scott Seetaller. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you're starting to feel overwhelmed by all your duties, responsibilities, obligations, all the tasks that you have to perform, would you please remember the laugh today? Laughter is the music of the heart. Laughter is pain turned inside out. Laughter is the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. Sometimes the only sense you can make out of life is a sense of humor. Listen, we don't stop laughing because we've grown old. We've grown old because we stopped laughing. And we don't laugh necessarily because we feel good. We feel good because we laugh. It releases those natural painkillers called endorphins. Gotta laugh, folks. I know you hear me say that every Wednesday. If you've ever heard me preach in public, I'm saying it all the time. Every time I give a talk, I got three goals. I want to inspire you, I want to make you think, and I want to make you laugh. Now, I hadn't planned on mentioning this in today's program, but I have to tell you, I'm driving out here to record the program, and I see this billboard, big billboard, you know, alongside of the road. I read billboards. And it has two gigantic words on this. The message is two words. And the two words are diddly squat. Have you ever heard those two words? I mean, it is certainly a common vulgar language, right? Diddly squat. Now, you know what diddly squat means? It means nothing. Nothing. For example, if you would say, how much money did you make in that business transaction? Diddly squat. How much money did you inherit from your grandparents? Diddly squat. Okay? Nothing. Well, I'm slowing down now to look at this billboard that says diddly squat, because there has to be more than message, I'm thinking. And in much, much, much smaller letters, underneath diddly squat is this sentence. That's what most college students know about getting a college education. And then obviously it's an advertisement to help you learn about how to get a college education. And it struck me, because I've never seen on a billboard before, diddly squat, that might be true of what I want to talk about today. You know how I introduced the program and I said, we're what we think about all day long? Well, let me share today's scripture passage with you, and then I'll build on that. It comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 4. And Jesus is talking to the leaders of the Jews, because they're thinking horrible things about Jesus. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, says, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? So here's my question. And I hope you know more than diddly squat about this topic. How about the relationship between psychology and spirituality? Do you think there's a relationship? If you do think there's a relationship, do you think that relationship is good, or do you think it's detrimental, harmful? Freud made a gigantic split between psychology and spirituality, because he didn't see much value to spirituality, if any. Well, I happen to think they go hand in hand. And it fits what I'm trying to say today and what Jesus says, because we have these thoughts. Did you ever catch yourself all of a sudden thinking something and you were embarrassed you thought about that? Whether it's in the area of lust or the area of violence. See, I call it my conveyor belt theory. out of our unconscious is this conveyor belt. It's always running between the unconscious and the conscience. And out of the unconscious, which we have no control over, the conveyor belt shoots up the stuff that embarrasses us. Because you know what? You can't have an emotion without first having a thought. You can't have an angry thought. You can't have an angry emotion without first having an angry thought. You can't have a sad emotion without having a sad thought, okay? So as a conveyor belt is shooting this up all the time out of our unconscious, as it passes through our mind's eye, past our mind's eye, we realize, boy, we have that thought. And then we got a choice here. We got a choice of one or two things. We can stop the conveyor belt, zoom in, and get fixated on that thought that will either make us lustful, angry, sad, joyful, or we can let it pass. Well, obviously, when it comes to the negative things, the things that are not good for our spiritual life, not good for our relationship with God, we got to have that pass. We got to keep it moving. Don't stop the conveyor belt. Keep it moving. And that's where today's introduction comes in. We are what we think about all day long. So we got to constantly, and this is a lifetime challenge, we'll be challenged by this until they throw dirt on us or slide us into the hole in the mausoleum or put the ashes, bury them. If we're going to win the war against negative, destructive, unholy thoughts, we have to beat it on the thought process, on the thought level. When it first shoots up, and we become aware of it on our personal mental radar, there's that bleep. And we recognize the bleep for what it is. It's something unholy, unhealthy, mentally and emotionally damaging. And we move it off, move it along, get it off, get rid of it. The more you become practiced, because like anything in life, our Christian walk is based on how well we practice it, until we have a habit, till we have a good habit, we replace a bad habit with a good habit. When we do that, then this becomes a little bit easier for us. Paul will say in his letter to the Philippians, fill your mind with everything that is good, everything that is holy, everything that is pure, everything that is helpful. You know, all that stuff that he says in Philippians chapter 4. That's what we do. We replace the negative thoughts, the sinful thoughts, the sinful feelings, we place them with good stuff. It's called thought, it is thought control. We have to do thought control until it becomes second nature. Remember, after our baptism, we have a foot both in the natural world and in the supernatural world. And we can't let ourselves just to be citizens only of the natural world. We have to remember that our fundamental call, our fundamental destiny is to be one with God forever. And so we have to remember the supernatural part of our life. And that should be a consolation to us because Paul says in Romans 5, where sin abounds, grace more abounds. That the grace of God is always more powerful than the temptations or the weaknesses that we experience because of original sin. So what is God asking us to do? He's asking us not to harbor, or as in today's translation, entertain. Entertain evil thoughts. Now, I always smile to myself when I hear the phrase, entertaining evil thoughts, because it looks like they're sitting there and you're singing for them and telling them jokes. But you know, harbor might be a better word. That's where we store them up and we cling to them. And we sit and just wallow in them. You can't do that. You can't do that. It'll affect every aspect of your life. You will find yourself more and more and more and more going down the path that's not where God wants you to go. You will find yourself judging people. You'll find yourself being jealous of people. You'll find yourself lusting after people. You'll find yourself throwing pity parties for yourself. All the while, you know what you're doing there. You're crowding Jesus out of your life. Remember, we don't drive sin out. We have to crowd it out with the presence of Jesus. And how do we do that? We replace the negative with the positive, the unholy with the holy, the sad with the joyful, the despairing with the hopeful. And Jesus can be all that for us. You know, for those who pray, Jesus is a person. For those who don't pray, Jesus is just a name. So, how are you going to spend your day? Where will your thoughts go when you're not busy? And I hope you'll let Jesus be your way, your truth, and your life. Okay, well, our prayer partners today are grandfathers. Grandfathers play a big role in children's lives, if they're willing to. They can mentor them. They can share with them a great deal of history. They can discipline them in a way that's different than the way the parents discipline. Because the parents are the fundamental primary disciplinarians, but the grandfathers, they can. They can show an interest in their grandchildren. They can teach them the value of money. And they can certainly teach them not to panic over every little problem, everything that goes wrong, because they can show them from a lifetime, their own history of a long life, that worry doesn't solve any problems. May God bless our grandfathers. Today's food for thought: legal and right are not necessarily synonymous. How important is that? Just because we take something that's immoral and make it legal, that doesn't make it right. Don't confuse the two. Now, my small attempt to make you smile or laugh. It's Mother's Day. The little boy said, "Mommy, you stay in bed, I'll make you breakfast." He brings up a tray of food on it. The toast is burnt. The cereal is soggy. And there's this cup of coffee. So the mother's trying to show the boy how much he appreciates. So she starts drinking the coffee, and the coffee is the worst cup of coffee she's ever had in her life. And she gulps it down, she forces it down, and at the bottom of the cup she sees these three plastic green soldiers. And she says to her son, "Honey, what are these soldiers doing here?" He said, "Well, Mommy, it's like what they say on TV. The best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup." Good, huh? Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know you listen to the program. I appreciate hearing from you. You can send me your prayer intentions. I will faithfully take them to prayer. Let me know you want to receive my newsletter. There's no charge for it. It comes out six times a year. And you can send me a check to help me keep my hospital open. Hospital for the Very Poor in Oaxaca, Mexico. Make it out to TASH, Inc. and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.